Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Happy New Year, almost, as we record
Happy
this
almost,
on New Year's
almost
Eve.
New Year.
Calendar sent us away for a week, but then made us come back before the New Year, so here we
must
are.
Witness the eternal, perennial resurrection of Calendar as we move from one calendar year to another.
This is the year, this is the time of the year where Calendar sloughs off its carapace from the past year, revealing a bright green fresh carapace underneath, at least in the teachings of certain followers of Calendar.
Sure, right. And then some collect the discarded pieces of the carapace and put them to good uses.
They grind them up.
They grind them up. Sell them,
use them as a legacy
seasoning.
Nodes.
I don't know. Yeah.
They're legacy nodes.
They're legacy nodes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Hey, I'm going to do something unusual here, Dan, which is to tell you that we had the sponsor Collide on the website, and they're sponsoring like us for a million weeks, and they said, could you mention us on your podcast? And I said, okay, we haven't done that before, but we will. So thanks to Collide, I guess they're sponsoring this podcast. Collide cross-platform fleet visibility for your Linux, Mac, and Windows devices. They do cool stuff with Slack, and they offer a trial. Anyway, check them out. There'll be a post on Six Colors. You may have seen it. Or go to collide.com, K-O-L-I-D-E.com. That was our sponsor, Dan. Look at that.
I thought you were going to, when you said the sponsor Collide, I thought there was like some sort of collision with sponsors. Like,
and
oh no.
And the Calendar took care of it for us.
Thank the Lord.
As we're talking, thank Calendar. As we were talking before we got started, you're working on the back page column for the last day of the year. And you were looking through your history of back page columns, just pointing out to everybody, dear members, that if you like Dan's back page columns, you can click on the little back page link in the tag, and you can see all of them. They're all there. We were talking about how people don't always get to see those because they're members only. We may unlock a bunch of like older stuff at some point. Who knows? Because we have that power to unlock articles.
Indeed, I guess.
I should say, you know, just off the top of my head, I'll mention it. If you have a member piece that you love that's, you know, not like this month or something like that, but a member piece that you love and that you want to show to people or tweet about or promote or link to on your blog or whatever, drop me a note. It's very easy for us to unlock old member pieces and make them available to all. And there's a little note at the bottom that says this was a member piece and you should become a member. So, you know, maybe
you want to sell your friends on, oh, this is great Six Colors content. Here's an example.
This reminds me of that funny thing. I mean, I think the best example is somebody wants to send out a note on Twitter or post on Facebook or whatever about this thing that you're like, oh yeah, didn't Dan write about this back? And you find it and it's a member article and you're like, oh, I can't share this. Just ask me. I can unlock stuff. It's easy. It's just, I'm making an offer. Yeah. It's like in the spirit of the season. Of the sloughing off of Calendar shell season.
Yes, indeed. That's the traditional unlocking of old member posts along with the sloughing off of the carapace.
Strength, you know, airing of grievances, sloughing off of carapaces, and unlocking of articles. These are the things that happen. Look, it's the last week of the year. Nothing is going on.
Nothing is happening.
We're writing about our favorite stuff, which is fine. Is there a year? Forgive me. Is there a year-end episode of The Rebound? Does that happen?
We haven't really done one. We were actually off this week because Lex, against the advice of the CDC, is on a cruise.
Oh no!
He left. To be fair, he went on it before they told him not to go. Although John and I were both like,
he would have. Yeah. Well, you should've. Lex and our friend Steve Lutz, who just got off a cruise, again, it's sort of like they were going to go anyway. Like they're taking their lives into their own hands.
Well,
I know people who literally won't go to a restaurant, and yet there are other people who are going on cruises. It's amazing.
I like that it's we scheduled it kind of like it's the incomparable like cabinet minister, you know, cabinet secretaries, where it's like we can only have one on a cruise at any time.
Yeah,
we get one off, put one back on,
put another one on. That's the admiral of the high seas.
That's right.
We got to have the admiral always riding the waves.
So we didn't do a year-end rebound episode, but we'll kick things off next week.
Won't we all?
I assume so, unless somebody has some sort of strange time displacement where they won't be moving into 2022 with the rest of us, in which case I'm very sorry, because 2021 is not a year you want to be stuck in.
Only calendar. Yeah, it's... 21 was better than 20.
I guess it kind of feels the same. Like, a lot of it felt samey. Like, yeah, I guess we did a little more.
Yeah.
There was some light at the end of that tunnel, but then there was also part of that was a train.
A train, yeah. That's true. Yeah, it's true. Oh, I did a thing on the website. I used to do this thing with the movable type site, where I would put in like a red and green Christmassy thing on the logo. And when I moved to WordPress, I didn't do that. And WordPress is complicated because you gotta have like PHP and all that. So I did that this week, where there's a Christmassy thing and there's a New Year's-y thing in the logo, and then it's not a Google Doodle. We're not gonna have like a piece of art in the Six Colors logo every time. But I did that. That was like a fun little holiday project for me.
It's cute. I like it.
Breaking out the. I did, however, I have to say, working with the WordPress people, who are very nice, they have a style guide that they enforce, and you've got to use like PHP CS, which is a style checker, and use their particular flavor of PHP, and they want it the way they want it. And I checked in my code, and it was like, oh, you failed all the PHP CS stuff. And it's fine. I'm the owner. I can just push it live anyway, and I don't care. But it yells at me. And I thought, okay, well, I'll run it through PHP CS. But it's been long enough since I've updated a PHP page that that stuff all broke. And for the life of me, I can't get it to work now. And this is a thing that I think for anybody who is not, what did our friend Brian Hamilton call it? Is not a filthy millennial who's never used the terminal, which is the start of a great musical, by the way. This is the start of a great musical about a filthy millennial who never learned the terminal.
LS-AL.
What's your shell? Boy, you can really mess up with all of the different, like, I have like Python 3 installed, and I have Node installed, and I have Homebrew installed. And the problem is that I think I installed some stuff not through Homebrew, and you end up in this situation where, like, I get all these errors. And what I really want to do is just nuke and pave,
right,
and start again. But in the command line realm, it's really hard to do that.
It's very annoying.
And I know I'm going to lose. Like, if I do that, all of the stuff that is still working will stop working. And will I get it back? So I end up in this case where I can run PHP CS in the command line for my PHP file, and it will tell me what's wrong with it. But if I add the WordPress standard to it, it says all of these things are deprecated and I won't run. And I don't know why, and I'm not clear whether this is even the right tool to use anymore, or if the WordPress stuff has gone to a different place. But anyway, I'm in this position now where I literally have no idea where to go, so I'm just not going to do it, and I'm just going to pretend that it didn't happen and that I'm not checking the styles anymore. But if one of the nice people from WordPress came to me tomorrow and said, Jason, you really got to fix the styles, I would say, I can't. I can't do it. I can't run your style checker thing because of something involving Node and PHP and Homebrew, and they all are mad at me. Yeah. I got in a loop where I had the latest version and it said, you can't run this thing because you don't have the latest version, but I do have the latest version.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you and I were wrestling with this a little bit in another project we were working on where... It turned out that, like, installing Python modules, which I discovered while I was doing a little Python hacky project, some stuff being installed with, like, sudo, and some stuff not being installed with sudo, it's like, well, I can't. If you you gave that to the other guy. It's like showing up at a counter, and you're talking to somebody, and they're like, no, that wasn't me. And, like, I'm pretty sure it was you. It looks like you. And it's like, oh, it's my twin brother. No, you talked to him. Me. Just feels like an old comedy routine, and then he ducks behind the counter and then comes up wearing like a different hat or something, like, oh no, you want Lou, sorry. So yeah, that was a fun thing where I tried to run something. It's like, you don't have this installed. I was like, I'm pretty sure it worked before. Oh wait, I'm the wrong person. Jason can run it.
Yeah, I, in fact, I'm still dealing with that, where I've got these scripts that run when I run them, but when they run in the scheduler, they don't run.
It's a different user. Yeah. Fun times. It's almost weird that we moved away from the terminal in some places.
So, yeah. Good for Brian for not doing the terminal. Brian was actually working on this thing from TJ Luoma about, he wrote this series of like Keyboard Maestro things, all this, but basically it puts a calendar item on your Stream Deck. If you have a Stream Deck, it puts a little thing that says, hey, your next event. You have two events today, and your next event is in 10 minutes or whatever, which is actually kind of cool. I installed it after Brian was talking about it. But again, there's all the stuff in your Mac works against you, because like if it's an executable, if it isn't approved by Gatekeeper, it won't run. And then you go find the file and you double click it to run it, and it goes, no, let's throw this in the trash. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. And then you have to control click on it or two finger click on it and choose open and then click open. Because it doesn't have a notarization signature, and then it finally runs. It's like so much of this stuff is like that. It's just, I don't know. Like our good friends Dr. Drang, Greg Noss, probably a lot of listeners who are experts at the command line are like, oh yeah, that's fine. You can just do it like this, and you change the permissions to make them executable, and you run this thing and you run that thing. But it gets really opaque. Really fast.
Yep, it's definitely true.
Yeah, I've said on numerous occasions, I thought I was learning VI for a temporary thing in the fall of 1988, and I'm still using it.
I literally only know enough VI to be dangerous.
Well, that's means you know something about VI.
Yeah, every time I have to look up how to quit. Every single
time. Dan. Escape WQ exclamation point.
Yeah, but what if I want to also save my progress?
It reminds me of, I briefly had to use WordStar when I was a kid. I had a job as a teenager doing data entry, and they had, their data was in WordStar, in CPM. And so I had to have like, learn it. And the thing that stuck with me with that is that WordStar had commands that were chains of keyboard shortcuts. So you couldn't just save with Control S. You had to do Control WP. And that was the part where I was like, what? There are what? It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was they decided that two shortcuts were better than one, I guess. Two key presses were better than one. I don't know. Computers are the worst. Nice. Why did they? Who invented them?
We made mistakes. We probably should have done this.
Stop that now. Yeah. Yeah, there's really nothing going on, though. That's the truth of it. We're doing our best of the year. It's fun to get those out there. You know, nice to say here.
Yeah.
And also, we have nothing else to write about. So I feel like it's a little way to bookend the year. We did our apps and our Apple stuff and all that. And now this week we're doing our movies and TV and books and I've heard from a bunch of people about like, oh, I added this to my list, or I read this and I really liked it. I mentioned some of these on Upgrade on Monday, and I've already had people say, oh yeah, I read that book because you mentioned it on Monday on Upgrade. I'm like, wow, okay, well, it is the last week of the year where you got nothing to do, but that's awesome. So, you know, that's sort of why we do it, is just to lay them out there and say, you know, we liked these, and give people ideas and they can try it and like it if they want.
Yeah, it's also a good opportunity, I find, for me to go back and revisit, like, what did I watch this year that I liked? Like, what did I read that I liked?
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I just don't remember. I don't know if I'm as bad as Scott McNulty, but I'm up there with Scott when it comes to, like, I read a book and then it's, like, out of my head. And I'm like, oh, I liked that, I think. And I have to go look and be like, I did read that this year. That was good. So it's nice to be able to sort of take stock and realize like, oh, I did read some books and watch some movies this year that I enjoyed. And it's nice to be able to share those with people. Although I did have the experience of being, seeing my family last week over Christmas. And, a couple of my cousins are very, very big consumers of movies and TV shows. And I found that in the past, I feel like I've been very up to date on all the things. And this year I was like, oh, I haven't watched half the stuff they're talking about. So I am now the one who needs to catch up on stuff.
Oh, catching up on stuff. The subject of the stuff. Incomparables clip show every year that will be released tomorrow.
Yeah. My one of my cousins, who I think I've mentioned you before, who lives across the bay from you in Oakland, he goes to I swear to God, I don't know how many movies he went to this past year. He, I mean, if he makes him, he's probably been to like 80 movies in the theater maybe or something. Because he writes movie reviews. Like that's sure. just his forever. His thing is like he's just had a blog and a mailing list and he just writes reviews and he tries to see as many movies as he can. Like every movie that comes out. And his reviews are usually very amusing. But I was amazed that like, yeah, he hasn't really slowed him down. I mean, in large part, but I think he goes to like matinees basically. He's like, eh, there's nobody else there. Right? Like it's literally, it was not busy before the pandemic and it's definitely not busy now. but I'm always a little bit in awe of the number of movies that he manages to see in a year. Cause it's a lot.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, I patted myself on the back cause I watched like 40 movies this year. And as we're clear in our like we watch a lot of TV. I watch a lot of TV more than I watch movies. Peak TV, there's lots of stuff out there. Movies, you know, TV comes in a half hour-ish or hour-ish block. Movie, you're committing to the whole night. It just hasn't happened. But there was a period earlier this year where there were no new TV shows and all the movies couldn't be in the theaters, so they were on streaming. And I watched a lot of movies then, so I watch more movies, I think, than I usually do in a year. Even though I only saw like three in the theater, I saw lots of them on my TV.
Yeah, I said, you know what? I feel like I should have been watching more movies. Like we did better this year, I think, than we've done in years in the past. But I think we tend to watch more TV than movies, just because of time constraints. It's easier to watch a 45 minute long episode of TV than it is an hour
no,
and a half movie.
That for me, that is often what it is, do I want to commit to a complete, short story essentially for 2 hours that takes up my whole night? Or do I want to watch half an hour or an hour of an ongoing story that I'm already involved with where I know all the characters? And that is, it's a, and different people are different, right? Like I also know people, friends of mine who are movie people and like your cousin who are like, they watch movies and there might be some TV, but like movies is what they do. And it just, I've never really been that because I've always been kind of a TV person more than that. But I was happy to have seen a bunch of movies. And then I read, bottom line is I also read like 55 books or something this year.
I wish I had gotten that far. Although I did look at my page stats the other day and realized some of it was because I read a crap ton of really long books.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm even though I read fewer books than like some past years, I'm way up on page count. Like if I manage to finish this last book that I'm reading right now, which is a like almost 700 page book, I think, then I will be at like well over 10,000 pages for the year, which is
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. But yeah, I did read several books that were in the 500 or more page range, and that definitely slows me down.
I did read among my, this, somebody was asking, cause like I've got some novellas on there, which I consider especially if they're published as books, they're just small books, people, they're books.
Yeah.
There are a few things that I put in Goodreads that are actually more like novelettes, for the Hugos. They weren't published as separate things, but they've got an entry in Goodreads. And so I put them in there mostly to see my rating later when we did our comparable episode about the Hugo Awards. That's mostly why I did that. I don't count those as reading a book, but somebody pointed out, well, novella and all that. And I said, if you look at the page counts, you could do it that way, because otherwise, a slim volume and, I also read Gnomon by Nick Harkaway this year, and that's a freaking 1,000-page long, dense book, right?
Yeah.
Those are a book. So yeah, it's not a perfect measurement of that, because Gnomon, it took me a couple of weeks to read, and it was a lot. And I loved it, and as I always say, don't read it. Nobody should read it. It's bananas, but I loved it. And gave it 5 stars and all that. But yeah, it scores as 1 in the book count, but it really was like a 1,000-page thing if you count the pages.
Yeah, exactly. I was just looking at my stats here, and it's like I've read fewer. Sorry, the other trick is I read at least one book this year that is not listed in Goodreads yet, so I could not log it.
Yes, you and me both.
Yeah, so
I think I read 2.
I read a few, and if I did read other ones, I don't remember now because I couldn't log it.
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, I read like, I'm going to be short. Last year, I read a ton. Like for whatever reason, 2020, I read 39 books last year, which is pretty high for me. And I did 12,000 pages. This year, I'm just shy. I'm 79 pages.
Wow.
I'm working on one last book, and that will take me to 29 in Goodreads, but really 30 because I read one that I couldn't log. So yeah, not as good as last year, but page wise, respectable, I think.
That's pretty good. That's I think that's pretty good. I I read your next book and Antony's next book.
Yes, Antony's next book was the one I read, which mine is in Goodreads, so you can log it.
Oh, I could.
But his is not, so
well,
I have to just remember that I read it. I'll log it when it comes
out. You'll
log
it in your heart. Yes, retroactively.
That's right. Does that count?
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you're right. I should log your book. I read this book.
You did. It comes out in July.
I did.
How exciting.
I don't even remember when I read it, but I read it.
Yeah. This says counts. It all counts. I appreciate the, you know, tools like Goodreads and Letterboxd because I do find I don't remember things. Like, I do find I read stuff and I can't remember whether I've read a book not or not, or I don't remember how I liked the book or something. So I do enjoy these kind of tools for being able to just sort of keep track of this stuff overall. All I need to do is get better at logging stuff. That's really what it comes
down to. I logged my movies in Letterboxd this year.
Same. Yeah. I think I forgot one looking back over my list because I logged a lot of stuff that we did for Not Playing because we watched a lot of movies. Uh-huh. And I think I noticed I missed one. But yeah, otherwise, I tried to get better this year about that. I have a gap because I go back to like, oh, look, there's a movie I watched in January 2, 2021. And the last movie I logged before that was January 2018.
Yeah. Well, I stopped doing it, but I started, I think, late last year. And especially when I was watching all the like Oscar nominees and stuff, I decided I was gonna like focus on it a little bit. And I've kept that up this year, which is kind of nice because I forget what movies I've watched too, which is, you know, I don't log my TV that I watch though because that's too much. I'm not that compulsive a logger.
I don't log it, but I do have an app that lets me keep track of shows that I'm watching, so I can kind of at least look back and see what shows am I following. Because I find that useful because I don't remember. As much as I like the Apple TV feature where it tells you like the next episode of show, it's so unreliable about some things that I just decided having an app is better.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm mostly using the Apple TV management tool, but what it does mean is that I forget things are on Netflix. I'm like, oh,
yes,
right.
That too.
We forgot, I forgot that Sex Education was on Netflix for a couple of weeks. So, oops.
It happens. That definitely happens.
So do you have a highlight of some sort, something you're going to take away from 2021? I'm trying to give us some form here on our way out the door.
Highlight from 2021. It's pretty hard to think of. I mean, it's been such a weird year, that I feel like it's hard to come up with something that is like,
everybody's going to, I think all the Apple focused people are going to talk about the MacBook Pro. I'm going to say, and I sort of said this on Upgrade too, I think I'm going to remember this year the most for those colorful M1 iMacs, because it really was, as somebody who likes iMacs and has been using an iMac for a long time, I've been waiting for them to redesign the iMac forever, and they did it, and they did Macs in colors again, which they haven't done in so long, and I know that it's just running an M1 processor, which was from last year, it's so 2020, and that you know, the new M1 Pro and M1 Max processors are the, you know, big story, and the screens on those laptops are amazing and all that. And yet, I don't know that the fact that they made little colorful iMacs that are adorable and that are running on an M1, which is going to be more than enough power for regular people. Like, I don't know. I thought that was a big deal. I loved that. I love the new iPad mini too, but for me, it's the iMac is the thing that I'm going to walk away from. It's either that, or on the flip side, it's the fact that the walls are closing in on Apple regarding the App Store. That's the other story, I think, this year.
Yeah. Oof. I almost wrote something about that in my looking back when I started my back page column and considered looking at the year behind us, because it was like, on the one hand, the walls were closing in. On the other hand, Apple seemed to win so many of its fights that it doesn't. It's like, well,
knocked down those walls.
Did they lose? Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm excited for the possibility of the year to come. I appreciate that, like, there are a couple little things that I thought were cool this year. I mean, the idea that they'll at least allow some sort of external linking in the App Store is a good one, I think. I was going to throw the repair program in there as a thing, you know, things I never thought Apple would do kind of things, which are bright spots, where it's like, oh, you know, they decided they'll sell parts to people and provide manuals for taking stuff apart and fixing pieces. Like, is this something most people are going to do? No, but it's interesting and kind of cool that they would just, you know, do it. Even if they weren't entirely altruistic about their motivations behind it, it's still kind of a nifty thing. So I appreciate that. I appreciate all the processor transition stuff. I think that's still a big story. I think it's cool, and I wrote about this in the piece that I did for Macworld, but I think it's really cool to think that by the end of next year, every product Apple makes, every product they make will run on their own silicon. I think that's wild, right? From the watch all the way up to the Mac Pro, everything they make runs on their own chips that they have designed and built. I don't think there's another consumer-facing company in the world that has that level of control and like end-to-end sort of, you know, even Apple, and it's historically like hermetically sealed like philosophy. They've never had this degree of like, we literally do make like the whole widget.
Yeah.
I think that's bananas and cool. And I'm intrigued to see if they continue. I assume they'll continue to build on that. I hope they don't rest on their laurels, but like, I think that's exciting stuff because it means potentially great things for the future of their products.
Yeah. I was on a Zoom for Philip Elmer DeWitt's membership program. It was a good test. I think we'll maybe do some for members at some point. I don't know. I'm not announcing anything now, but I think it would be kind of cool to do some events. I used to do lots of user groups and stuff. I was like, well, why not with the members of Six Colors? So maybe we'll do something like that. But one of the things I said was, big picture, you got to look at Apple and think. They think about the layers and the platforms that they've got, because they have the operating system layer. And we think about iOS and iPadOS and macOS and watchOS and tvOS. We think about all that. But basically what it really means is they have a core OS in pieces that they can deploy for any product they want to build. And I don't want to undercut how much work it is, but like, it is such a big deal that they have the OS that has the underpinnings, and they've already productized it in a whole bunch of different ways and will continue to do so. They have the processors that are designed with only them and their OS and their OS plans in mind, because they control it in a way that they never did with Intel. They never did with Motorola. They never did with the PowerPC Alliance. They were just a client. And here they are. They choose where they're going to go. So they've got all of these layers, the software layer, the hardware layer. They've got their hardware design capability. It's pretty powerful in terms of, and they're the only, I mean, really, they're the only company that has this, where they have complete operating system control and complete hardware and chip design control. And it's only getting more so because, you know, they're going to do a 5G. If not in 22, then in 23, the 5G capability is all going to be Apple Silicon.
Right.
And there's talk that they are staffing up to do in Irvine, California, where they're gonna poach people from Broadcom, and that means they're probably going to be building their own Bluetooth and Wi-Fi chips too, or integrating them into their existing silicon. This is Apple basically saying, we're going to eat all the legacy nodes. We're going to eat everything, and we're going to just do it ourselves, and we're going to build it for our purposes. And it means that no competitor can, as long as they, you know, stay ahead or on par, it means that no competitor can just co-opt them by buying the same thing off the shelf, because it's not for sale. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. It's a very big deal. I think it also is, as you say, like having the ability to also just deploy hardware and software and sort of spin up additional projects that they already now have the resources for. Like, I got to think it makes life easier for that as well, right? Like, just like, oh, we want to build a new device. Well, we've got the hardware, right? Like, we've got the chips. We've got the Wi-Fi chips. We potentially have cellular chips. We've got, you know, battery technology, all of this stuff. We make this in-house, or we design it in-house. We've got the software that runs on top of that and is tightly integrated with that hardware. We can build stuff probably a lot faster than a lot of other companies and with a higher degree of integration. And that's not nothing, right? Like, you know, we're all obviously there's been a lot of talk about something like a VR headset. There's been talk about other home appliances, stuff that they might dabble in. I think the lead time for other companies building this stuff, you know, you can build stuff with off the shelf components, but right now it's tough because a lot of stuff is not available. Whereas Apple does have some of this stuff available to it that it can just be like, well, we'll spin up a new project and we'll design something and get it out the door and rapidly iterate and all of that. Like, it does make them a lot more flexible and powerful in the way that they deploy new products.
Yeah. And then this is the new version of the Apple secret sauce.
Yeah.
And exactly. Yeah. And whether that's in truth, I don't know about the car thing, but yeah, the AR headset, AR VR headset thing, that's where you're going to see this, where it's like they get to put their silicon into it. So it's going to be powerful. And the only thing that they haven't done, or I'll finish that thought, and the OS, right? They'll do a version of the OS and they can use their, and they've got their own, basically like their own programming language and their own app development system. So all of that comes along for that.
The bottleneck is like, we have to find the thing that we decide is worth doing. Like, that's now the bottleneck. Right. It's like, what is the product we want to build?
And
it's not building it.
And I would say, and I don't think they're going to ever do anything about this, but I would say that sometimes the place that is the place where they end up having to compete with other companies for parts is things like displays, right?
Right.
They've shown, though, and you look at that MacBook Pro display, like what they've shown is a facility to work with a display making partner to drive technology that is special for Apple. And as long as they do that and they pay enough money to LG or Samsung or whoever, they probably aren't going to need to build their own display thing. But I wouldn't put it like I would say it's maybe like 40%, 30% chance. But, you know, when you got as much money as Apple, if you need to make a strategic investment in a display maker or basically take them over in order to get them to do what you want, I'm sure they would. But I'm sure they've also got so much money that they don't need to, because the display maker, it would really only be like if a competitor of theirs was going to buy out one of their display suppliers and cut off supply, which, again, Apple spends so much money that I don't think it would ever happen. But that's like, you can find those areas. And I don't think Apple's going to eventually make literally the whole widget, but I wouldn't put it past them to spend what money they need to spend in order to do something where they feel like they can appreciably add by doing it. So far, that hasn't happened with displays. I didn't think it was going to happen with basic stuff like Bluetooth and Wi-Fi either. And I wonder if this legacy node thing, where Tim Cook realizes that they are competing with everybody who makes any gadget in the world for these stupid Bluetooth and Wi-Fi chips, that he's like, let's just do it ourselves. I don't want to ever have to wait in line with those people. We can do a better job, and we'll put it in our wireless chips and we'll be done with it. And they could do that again if they're annoyed and find that somebody else is, you know, getting in their way of what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time to be Apple. They will soon run everything.
Yeah, I guess so. Bad news, everybody. Or good news or bad news.
It depends who you are.
All right. Well, end of the year, last podcast of the year, Dan.
That's it. We did another year in the books.
Another year down. Three more to go. Spoilers for the apocalypse. Anyway.
What?
No, calendar assures us that the calendar goes on and is eternal. We are not eternal, but the calendar remains eternal. So anyway, happy new year. Happy calendar Carapace shedding day to those who celebrate.
Let's see if we remember this a year from now.
I know, that's the real... I have viewed calendar as a... I am definitely in the school of thought that it's calendar is basically like Zorak from Space Ghost. It's just a big grasshopper.
Yeah, that works. Seems
but
right.
I don't know.
Each their own. Everybody's got their own relationship
like
and
I
view
said,
of calendar,
there are different
right?
schools of thought about calendar. Because can you really see the infinite? No.
No,
you can't.
That's true.
Not unless you
your
get the
brain can't
glasses.
Contain it.
You need the goggles for that.
Look for Apple's AR goggles coming later this
then
year.
Then you can see the infinite people.
We're gonna get Whoa. James Thompson to put calendar in the pCalc about screen.
Oh man, don't even say that because he will.
I know.
He should get back to work, and instead all he does is japes all day.
I'm Khaleesi. Yeah, I'm considering this a dare, essentially.
Okay, that's good. James, we dare you. Well, okay. Happy all of those things that I already said to everyone out there and to you, Dan. And we'll see you next year. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.
Hello. I am Talindar. It sure is great to get out of that carapace.